This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do it.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
And a good Wednesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us here on Wake Up Call. All right, so we've been talking about quarterbacks a lot over the last couple of days, and rightfully so, because NFL quarterbacks are making a lot of news, whether it is Tom Brady coming out of retirement, Aaron Rodgers staying in Green Bay, the shifting of quarterbacks from Matt Ryan to Indianapolis, and Marcus Mariota going to the Falcons, and Carson Wentz is going to Washington, and Russell Wilson is going to Denver. Well, the big story still is Deshaun Watson to the Cleveland Browns. Now, on a football level, right, what does this make Cleveland? Are they a legitimate contender to go to the Super Bowl with Watson under center? We'll discuss that because it adds, again, with Matt Ryan going to Indianapolis and Deshaun Watson going to Cleveland over the last couple of days, it has really added to the AFC quarterback superiority. We're going to go over all of the teams later on in this hour and sort of give a grade for where they are at this moment in terms of quarterbacking. But there is still a lot of people looking at the way Cleveland structured their contract with Deshaun Watson and the way Deshaun Watson's agent got his salary in line with a possible suspension that is raising a lot of eyebrows in exactly how this deal is looking. This isn't the finest hour for the National Football League in terms of its image. They survive a lot, and they'll survive this. But the reality of it is that Deshaun Watson getting a raise after being sat out for a year because his football team that needed him didn't want him because they thought that the 22 civil suits against him were horrible enough to keep him off the field and away from their franchise. And in response, this league keeps doing this to players who have these sort of problems off the field. Now, Deshaun Watson is innocent until proven guilty, and we will see how this plays out. Maybe, just maybe, he's innocent of all of this. And if that's the case, then Cleveland did a great job. But if he isn't, this is once again the league saying, you know how important winning is. It is so important that we know we will withstand all of the scrutiny that will come our way when we sign this guy. How does his contract look in the first year? And does it lead us to think, if anything, that the league is actually going to suspend Deshaun Watson? That's next.
Listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, Aaron, thanks for joining us. It is good Wednesday to you. Here we are. And now you can find me on Twitter at Tony D Radio, and you can find Ron at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. All right, so again, the Deshaun Watson story is still something that is sort of percolating. And it's going to do that for a while. I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think this story has a lot of legs leading into the season, and I think it's because it has everything to do with the possible suspension, right? I mean, the Cleveland Browns are all in on getting this high-level quarterback at a serious cost to the image of their franchise. And to be honest with you, it's a cost that they're willing to spend because they are a franchise that has failed to land the right guy at this position since they started in this league in 1999. They have never found the guy. They always thought occasionally that they had the guy, but now they definitely do. They have a proven commodity in Deshaun Watson. But these 22 civil suits, again, this is what kept Deshaun Watson off of the Texans roster. Houston could have played him. Houston could have started him. Houston paid him to not play. They didn't want anything to do with him. By the way, he was disgruntled anyway. I mean, it wasn't like the relationship was awesome. And then these civil suits came down and they were like, oh, well, now we got to push you away. You know, they were at odds. I mean, Deshaun Watson was angry with the team. They got rid of DeAndre Hopkins. He wasn't really happy there, demanded a trade. And then when the civil suits started popping up, then the Texans were like, oh, yeah, you want to trade? Well, nobody really wants to trade for you now. And so he sat out. But the Texans could have made him play. But they realized that this was too important of an issue for their franchise to allow this individual to be a part of their team. So they paid him to stay away. And the thing about it is that even though Cleveland is bringing him in, here is the latest on the contract. We kind of touched on it yesterday. In 2022, his first year, he gets a signing bonus of $45 million. Okay, this is how they're working the $46 million a year. Okay? His first year, the signing bonus is $45. You know what his salary is? $1.03. That's his salary. Why is that important? It is important because if he is suspended, the fine for being suspended by this league only comes out of the salary. So the Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson's agent worked out a financial situation that would make it so that Deshaun Watson being suspended by the NFL costs as little money as possible. Now, Deshaun Watson is claiming he's innocent, and he still could be innocent. It's a smart move from an agent standpoint, protecting your client and his finances. But does it say anything about where everybody thinks this is going to go? Now, don't get me wrong. The NFL will fine you and suspend you anyway. If even if he has proven sort of there's no real case, it gets to the civil court and there's nothing really there, and a judge says, you know, he doesn't have to pay anything, and there's whatever this, if it goes in his favor, he could still be suspended anyway for just having this around. That the league doesn't, you know, sort of, it's not really locked in stone as to why players get suspended. We go back to the Ezekiel Elliott situation, right? Ezekiel Elliott, there was nothing, there's really no evidence, but there was enough to hurt the shield, and that's why he got suspended. Deshaun Watson is likely to face a suspension even if these civil suits don't go anywhere. But it is creepy. And it is sort of, it sort of reminds you that not everyone in that room knew exactly what's going on here. The Cleveland Browns aren't playing like, crossing their fingers like, we don't think he did it and we're really hoping. Like, the Cleveland Browns are like, yeah, we're anticipating a suspension too. It's still okay. We still want to make him happy, and this is how we're going to make him happy. Here's $45 million and $1 million in salary, which he's going to end up being fined. So it's going to cost him, you know, roughly $300,000 or whatever it's going to be. I think Peter King reported it that a six-game fine would be $345,000. Because it is like 0.7% of the compensation. So that's the way the Cleveland Browns structured this. And make no mistake about this. They're married to this guy. They now have him as their quarterback. Everything about these civil suits now falls on the shoulders of this organization. Houston, you're now in the clear. The Texans don't have anything to do with this now. This is all on the Browns. So everything about this story, as it goes to the courts, is going to be Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson suspended. Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson ordered to pay. Whatever this story leads, or Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, was cleared of all out of the civil suit. That's all on this organization. But it goes back to show you again. I mean, when we pulled this out yesterday, we pulled back yesterday and thought about this. This guy went from starting quarterback at Houston to wanting a trade to these civil suits coming out. The Texans didn't want him around. He sat out an entire year. He became sort of poisonous in a way that the Texans couldn't ship him around, couldn't ship him anywhere. Nobody was interested. He had a criminal element to these accusations that he had over his head. So nobody wanted to dive into that swimming pool. Then the criminal case was dismissed. Just the civil cases remain. teams started to get interested, so much so that an owner lost his franchise quarterback because he showed interest in Deshaun Watson, Arthur Blank, Matt Ryan. And the Browns wanted to talk to him. That made their quarterback angry enough to write a letter saying to the people of Cleveland how much he was going to miss them, even though there was no goodbye. It started to get weird, right? But Watson got a raise. Watson made $76 million more. He's getting $46 million a year.
And I think that's the hard part.
Like, when it's all said and done, he wins. He wins. The civil suits are going to cost him money, but they're not going to cost him jail time. There's going to be a suspension, but this suspension one day will be over. And the Browns will have a young, dynamic, fantastic quarterback to utilize. And will they survive? If they win, they will. We know it. We know they will. That's just the way it is. So I don't know whether I should be happy with Cleveland or whether or not I should be sort of disgusted by them. I should be disgusted by them because, like, 22 women are not wrong here, right? I mean, they're not all lying, but maybe they are. But the reality of it is the way they structured that deal, and again, we hit on it a little bit yesterday, the way they structured that deal, they know a suspension is coming. They know it. And yet they want to minimize the damage that is done to their quarterback.
Now, I know the Browns wouldn't get a pass on this because, you know, a lot of people are just upset that they even decided to go for Deshaun Watson with all these cases pending. But do you think the backlash would have been lessened if they hadn't just thrown out a new contract to him?
That's a good question. That's a really good question. I don't think the initial anger has anything to do with the money, although I think it adds a lot to it. A lot of people say, well, somebody will trade for him. I just hope it's not my team. You know what I mean? Like, they don't want that hassle.
Right.
But if you're in Cleveland, then you go, well, like our guest yesterday said, the city's kind of divided. There are people who are angry about it because he brings this sort of darkness, if you will, to the franchise, this sort of overriding thing. But then there's also this feeling of, well, we really do need a quarterback. And he is one of the best ones in the game. So that's the problem, though. I don't think that, you know, me personally, without any real knowledge, I mean, going on the report that was in Sports Illustrated a while back, you know, this is just my feeling, my gut feeling, without any, you know, I'm not diving into this case. I'm not a lawyer. I think there's something there. I don't think 22 women are lying. You know what I mean? I don't think 22
yeah,
women
22's
all in the same field are, you know, are lying. I think
it's hard to imagine 22 separate massage therapists all collaborated together and go, you know what we should do?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the darling of the city right now? Let's take him down.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. That's what you would have to believe. Like, you'd have to believe it's some massage convention. Like 22 women from the Houston area were like, it'll be really great. Let's pick an athlete. What do you want? Alex Bregman? No. Okay, no. How about Sean Watson? Maybe no. Anybody on the Rockets that we can? Let's all chat about this. James Harden. Let's talk about this. And then they all started coming together, and they went, you know, it'd be good. How about Deshaun Watson? He gets massages, right? Everybody deal with Deshaun Watson. Yeah, let's do that. Like, I have a hard time believing that occurred. And right. And here's the thing, Deshaun Watson, you know, obviously he's not going to say anything. This is still in the court. So his lawyer is like, shut your mouth. Don't apologize. Don't do anything. So I'm not expecting him to. But that's basically their defense. Is that that's exactly what happened. Is that 22 money-hungry women made this up to get him to pay. Right? Which I just don't think is a reality. I mean, I think that in the end, this is going to be one of those situations where he's going to pay. He's going to get suspended. Everyone will be angry and bitter about it. The Browns won't do a thing because they've already locked this contract's guaranteed. They are not giving a guy $46 million a year not to do anything. They already knew what they were getting into. That's the other part of this. Cleveland, you can't come back and be disgusted by this. Like, if this civil suit goes through, and let's say they go, yeah, there's a lot here. There's enough here to find you guilty in a civil sense, and you have to pay these women, right? The Browns have no moral standing at all. They don't get to go on the soapbox and go, well, you know, how we're embarrassed and we're disappointed and we're rather shocked by the this outcome. And we are releasing him from the team. No, you know what the deal is, right? Houston could have done that. Houston could have said, we think these are serious. We are taking them seriously. But in this country, you are innocent until proven guilty. He is going to play for us until, like, let's say they were, you know, they were on good terms. The Texans could say he's still going to play for us until this gets its day in court. And then afterwards, they can say, you know what? We monitored this, and we are disappointed, and we're bothered by it, and he's released. But the Browns can't do that because the Browns, they're all in on this. This is their problem, too. They know what they're getting involved in. So, again, coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to give our grades for the AFC quarterbacks because it's almost like a reset button because there's been so much movement and so much conversation on how good the AFC quarterbacks are. So we're going to give letter grades to what we, you know, where teams are in terms of their signal callers. That's coming up in 15. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. Thanks for joining us on Wake Up Call. All right, so again, coming up, we're going to give letter grades to all 16 teams in the AFC. We were going to do the NFC, but why bother? That doesn't seem to be, other than Rodgers, Prescott, and Brady, who else is slinging it in that conference? Matt Stafford. All right, I'll give you that. Who else is slinging it around there? Kirk Cousins. Ah! Carson Wentz. No, the AFC is where it's loaded with quarterbacks. So we'll give you the grades, kind of letter grades. If you want to chime in on that, you can on Twitter. We'll get, you know, give us your opinions on certain teams. So I asked you, I know you're on vacation, so I know you haven't caught it yet. But I'll ask anyway. Have you caught any of Winning Time?
I have not.
Oh, my gosh. It's getting better and better. It's so much fun. They are playing real loose with the facts, though. They really are.
Surprisingly, right?
Their timeline doesn't work. Like, their timeline is off. But that is totally okay, because this is not a historical documentary. This is, you know, fun. It's entertainment. It's entertainment. It's taking a real thing, real people, and giving you the basic story. And you know, who cares about the dates? You know, like Pat Riley, paid by Adrian Brody. By the way, and it's so funny because Pat Riley, in the early days of Pat Riley, and when he was in his 30s and he was a retired NBA player and he was looking for something to do, he was Chick Hearn's color analyst for a couple of years on Laker broadcasts in the late 70s. And Adrian Brody plays him with unkept hair, real awful mustache, and just kind of a guy that is, you know, like, out of his sorts. And Riley even admitted that, like, in a book, that he was like, you know, in his early days, he was lost. He didn't know what he was going to do. He listened to motivational tapes and whatnot. Because the one thing that we, you know, you and I talked about this about a year or so ago, when we were talking about the Lakers-Celtics, you know, what made the Lakers-Celtics rivalry in the 80s so great is that there were certain personalities that fit the image of the team that they were on, right? I mean, imagine Larry Bird on Showtime Lakers. And imagine Magic Johnson on the blue-collar, lunch-pail Boston Celtics. Like, it doesn't work, right? It works the other way around. If you're going to have glitz, glamour, movie stars, the Forum, the Laker girls, you want Magic Johnson. That's who should be, you know, your young superstar. If you're in Boston and it's lunch-pail, blue-collar, parquet floor, place with no air conditioning, kind of a dump of arena, but it's our arena. You want Larry Bird from French Lick, Indiana, right? Like, just like those two matched the teams, the images of the teams. But nobody did that better than Pat Riley. Pat Riley was everything Showtime Los Angeles Lakers were when he took over the reins as head coach. Everything about him was slick hair, good looking, young, tan, wore Armani suits. Like, everything about him was exactly what the Lakers wanted. And Bill Fitch and Casey Jones weren't really on that level of Pat Riley glamour, right? I mean, Pat Riley looked like a movie star. Like, Pat Riley looked like a guy who came out of Hollywood casting to play the role of the head coach of the Showtime Lakers of the 80s. But in this series in HBO, his early days, he did not look like that. He looked like a kind of a beach bum, to be honest with you. But it's really good. I will tell you, Ron, the one person in the series that I have a hard time watching is Jerry West. The guy who plays Jerry West is Jason Clark. He's one of those actors you've seen in 100 things, but you don't really know who he is.
Okay.
He plays Jerry West. He plays an amazingly vulnerable, emotional, somewhat on the edge Jerry West that I did not know existed. And it would make me, like, if I was Jerry West people watching that, I'd be like, we need to put out press releases now. like, because he's crazy. Like, Jerry Buss yells at him because he quits and, you know, he doesn't want to coach anymore and he doesn't feel like he can coach. And, you know, a lot of this might be true, probably is true, probably not on the same level, but it's nuts. But the person who steals this documentary by a mile is John C. Reilly, is Dr. Jerry Buss. He's fantastic. He's fantastic. Every scene he's in, you love him in that. You love Jerry Buss in the scene. Like, he's got money problems. He's broke. He doesn't care. He just figures out a way to make money. He just figures out a way to get it. Like, they need Jerry Tarkanian to be the head coach. He's going to pay Jerry Tarkanian 10 times more than what he's making at UNLV. He's going to give him a Rolls Royce. Doesn't care where he's going to get the money. He'll find it. Just the way he is.
So I'm shocked with the Jerry West. I'm surprised they're not, like you said, they're not out ahead of it. Because for me, the way I know of Jerry West is that he would call up a team, demand a trade, gave him his alternatives, and that was the way it always went down.
Yeah, right. I mean, Jerry, like, that's my image of Jerry West, and they might actually improve that as he take over general manager.
Maybe he gets a backbone. As the episodes go on?
Now he is this vulnerable guy who loves the Lakers, who was their coach and didn't want to coach anymore because he felt like he couldn't be what Jerry Buss wanted. Jerry Buss wanted a championship team, and Jerry West said, I'm not the coach for that. And Jerry Buss lays into him, screams at him. Like, maybe that happened that way. I don't know. But it doesn't do Jerry West's images very well. So that was it. You know what a documentary I did watch yesterday, though, because it was pouring here in Nashville and there wasn't anything to do? You know what I rewatched yesterday? And I don't know why I did it. I don't know why I did it. I was perusing through the 30 for 30s. I could have, on ESPN Plus or whatever it is, they have their online service. I could have watched anything. I could have watched the two Escobars again, which I've always liked. I could have watched a whole bunch of them. You know what I landed on and decided to watch?
Go for it.
I still hate Christian Leighton. I have no idea.
It's March Madness. That's why you grabbed
it. It was March Madness, and they were sort of promoting that and a bunch of other college basketball ones. It was like one of the feature ones that they stuck up at the beginning. I watched that from start to finish again. I must have seen that 30 for 30 five times. If there was one trip down memory lane for me, it was being in college, high school, college during the Leightner years. Like, and I went through that again. I watched that thing again, and I didn't learn anything new, but it just made me shake my head once more. Like, I watched that going, it's like no college athlete in my lifetime has ever been so lucky, like so blessed to have literally everything go his way.
Yep.
Like, everything go his way. He stepped on a Kentucky player, and they went, well, we can't kick him out of the game.
I mean, we hated him just because he was the Justin Bieber of college basketball.
He was everything. Jalen Rose said, if I stepped on a guy, I'd still be on probation. So, and you know what? He's probably right. Grades for AFC quarterbacks next on Wake Up Call.
Wake Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. All right, it's a kind of report card time. So we're kind of doing a little bit here, and I think it's long overdue. But you know what's interesting? It may not even be done yet, like in terms of the quarterback carousel. Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo still doesn't have a home. Baker Mayfield doesn't have a home.
We should probably say that we reserve the right to change these grades at any time.
Exactly, because things could certainly change. But I thought that with Matt Ryan going to Indianapolis, and yet once again another big-name quarterback is in the AFC, and in Deshaun Watson's case, he comes back to playing football in the AFC, you know, being with Houston and now with Cleveland. It was time to sort of go, okay, exactly where do these 16 teams stand with their quarterback? So I thought we'd just do a simple letter grade for every single team and sort of talk about who they have as a signal caller. So are you ready?
I am.
All right, let's start in the AFC East. All right, let's go with Buffalo. I think that's an easy A. Josh Allen is one of the elite quarterbacks in the game. That's an A. I don't want to give an A-plus because, you know.
No, but I almost lean towards an A-minus because he needs to get up over that hump.
Yeah. Maybe an A-minus because, he's gone in the playoffs, but he's lost to Kansas City now twice en route to the Super Bowl. So, maybe an A-minus on that situation. All right, what about Mac Jones with the Patriots?
Hmm.
I gave it a B. I think they're fine with him. I don't think they want to upgrade. I think they want to let him grow. I think they're okay with him. He did get him to the playoffs. I don't think it's great, but I don't think it's awful. I kind of give him a B.
See, I think I'm with you. And, you know, I know I saw a rumor circulating around that, maybe Baker Mayfield to the Patriots.
Maybe. I saw that too,
And I don't think they need it.
I don't think they need
it. I think you should roll one more season with Mac Jones, see what you really got.
There were times where Mac Jones last year showed that he was a rookie, and there were times last year that he didn't.
Which is fine.
A lot of promise
He's supposed to show he's a rookie. And let's face it, out of all the rookie quarterbacks, he might have been the best.
And there was one moment where the Patriots were the hottest team in the NFL before it kind of slipped away from him a little bit. But I think a B is right about where they're at.
Yep.
In terms of, this is their quarterback, and everybody else is looking great, but this is where we are right now. Miami's interesting. Tua Tagovailoa. I gave this a C, maybe even a C-. I don't think they're committed to him. I think that they would love any opportunity to upgrade at this position. And this is the guy they wanted, and I don't think they're sold on him just yet. But I'm not giving him a D. I don't think he's
So
awful,
I'm going to defer.
Like,
I'm going to defer from you on this one because I'm going to give him a B-.
B minus?
And the reason why is because, for the first half of the season, it was all about, you got to move on from Tua. And then Tua went on a stretch where he played competitively. And he pretty much quieted everybody.
Yeah, I would say that because they lost seven in a row and then won seven.
And then they won seven in a row. But the main thing I got out of it is that he quieted everyone. All of a sudden, we weren't talking about Tua at all. I can see where, maybe it was just an average grade or maybe he's finally figuring out the game. I don't know.
But if we're not talking about Tua at all, it also means we're not talking about how good he is either.
True.
Right? I kind of see the B-, so maybe I'm a little too harsh because I think he still has some seasoning left.
Yes.
But. Now, the Jets, I gave them a C-plus because I think Zach Wilson is their guy.
Yeah.
I think Zach Wilson's their guy. I think they want continuous growth with him. I don't think they're panicking. They drafted him for a reason. He showed he was a rookie last year. That's what you're supposed to do. I don't think they're a very good team around him. And so I don't think they're in, let's go upgrade this position and find a way to get Jimmy Garoppolo. I think they're okay with Zach Wilson going into year two.
And I'm with you on that one. I think a C-plus is a good grade for him. There's a lot of potential.
Right.
Isn't that what you give a C grade for? Is like, and then you would write the little blurb and say, the student shows great potential in class.
Exactly. All right. In the AFC North, and this is where it gets interesting, Mitch Trubisky for the Steelers. Let's just get this out of the way. This is a C-. All right. Like, this is like, just be done with this. This is a placeholder quarterback. I mean, look, we can say good. If you play in the NFL,
if you're a quarterback in the NFL, we could say we can find a couple of good things to say about you.
Yep.
Right? But yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. C minus for the Steelers.
You had a decent year last year.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oy, oy,
holding
oy.
The clipboard and getting in late in games. And
also on the flip side, let's get the other two teams in the division done as well. I mean, Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson with Baltimore, these are A quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Right? With Burrow, it's like an A plus because he got him to the Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson is a former MVP. You know, when he's healthy and plays, Baltimore wins football games. But Cleveland, let's give this a grade. Because it falls in two lines, right? I mean, if it's just 100% football, then this is an A. With Deshaun Watson possibly suspended and paying out the settlements and being a distraction and having your fan base rally against you, then it would put him in a C. Or C minus. So is the answer somewhere in the middle, or is this or in the end, because he will play football, it's a football thing, and it's an A?
I don't know yet.
You know what I mean? Like this is a weird one to grade because, yeah, when he plays, and by the way, we haven't seen him play in over a year. Like, we expect him to be good. We expect him to be on point. We expect him to be the Deshaun Watson. But remember, this is a Deshaun Watson with the bad Houston Texans team, but nevertheless, only won four games the last time he went through a full season. But he is a very good quarterback. But the baggage is too much right now. It's really too much to process exactly what kind of letter grade we can give Cleveland. But I'm going to go with a B- right now. I'm going to go with the B- because I think right now, today, right now, I think a lot of the focus is on the contract, the way the contract is worked out, the way it's ridiculously high. You know, it's Aaron Rodgers level high when it didn't have to be. The fact that he's a good football player and could possibly be suspended is going to be a problem. So I'm going to give him a B minus. I'll put it somewhere in the middle.
I'm struggling with that one. You know, I mean, if everything is all roses, yeah, B minus. Because we don't even know how he is as a quarterback right now. He hasn't played in a year.
That's right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of question marks on that. I mean, we know what he was, but we don't know what he is.
Right.
And I think that's a big issue. But that's a tough grading assignment.
I agree. There's just a lot of
stuff
still unpacked.
There's too many questions. There's too many unfinished book reports, unfinished tests.
Right.
That he needs to make up first.
That he
just needs
to make up for. All right, let's get to the South. Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill. I think this is a solid B. They don't ask Tannehill to do amazing things.
No, they just ask him to run the offense.
He's not Jimmy Garoppolo in the playoffs a couple of years ago. He doesn't just hand the ball off to Derrick Henry. When Henry's healthy, he does throw. He does throw to his tight ends. He does throw to his receivers. But he's not spectacular. He's not going to be. He's not Josh Allen. He's not Joe Burrow. He's not on their level.
Yeah, he's not.
But
elite.
He's not terrible. I give him a B.
Now, are we giving a little extra credit towards him because they were beat by the Bengals en route to a Super Bowl?
Yeah, we could give him a little bit of that. I mean, they did turn the ball over three times.
Yeah,
you know.
And for that game, we give it up to Joe Burrow because, I mean, he was sacked nine times.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, you feel like you got a good enough quarterback, but you don't have a supermodel. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have, like, he's all right. He's good.
Yeah.
Like,
you need him to move the ball and give Derrick Henry a break from time to time. And he kept winning all those games when Derrick Henry was hurt.
That's very true. Matt Ryan, Indianapolis.
B+.
I gave it a B+. That's exactly what I gave it.
Yeah.
It's a B+. It's not an A, but it's a B+. This is a more experienced quarterback. He's not going to do foolish things like Carson Wentz. This is a good football team around him. They can run the ball. He's got good weapons. He's got an offensive line. He's got a good defense. He had a terrible defense in Atlanta causing him to go out there and sling it even more than he probably wanted to, trying to get back into games. So this is a guy that can still play the position at 37 years old. This is a B+. I agree.
Yep.
What about Trevor Lawrence at Jacksonville?
That one's easy.
Yeah.
Incomplete.
Incomplete. We don't know yet.
Yeah.
We have no idea because he was saddled with a terrible head coach for a while.
He was saddled with a coach who didn't know who the best defensive player in the NFL is.
And if we've said it once, we've said it 100 times, we never saw the good game.
No.
Every rookie on a high level at least has one game where you go, all right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, has one game to show us whether or not
that
he can play.
He threw, like, even in a loss where the quarterback throws 4 touchdowns and 375 yards with no picks, but they still lose because they stink. You still go, but that was a good performance.
We would find like a play.
Yeah.
I can't think of one Trevor Lawrence play, like, let alone a game. Forget about putting a whole game together. It was just, yeah. Was
well, maybe that
one...
last game against the Colts, but
maybe.
I mean, how many did he throw? I think he threw 2 touchdowns.
But I feel like that wasn't him.
Yeah. Yeah. How about Davis Mills with Houston?
I have no idea.
Yeah, like, I just want to give it, like, a C, because that's just average, and it's like, it's not bad, it's not good, it's,
yeah.
I don't know, there were times where people were like, Davis Mills is the guy, and I'm like, really, you really will take him over any other option out
there? Take him over to Deshaun Watson, because
really?
That's who you're comparing him to.
Give
him a C+.
May give him a C+.
Just for dealing with the Watson noise all season long.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not like feel happy about Davis Mills, but I mean, don't.
Yeah, I don't think he's the
answer. Let's not go overboard here. Like if you can find a better quarterback, you'll take the better quarterback.
If you can find a way to, you know, I mean, I'm surprised they just took draft picks. They should have found a way to grab Baker.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We didn't
the trade to Deshaun.
I mean, don't get me wrong. We didn't know who Tony Romo was until he became the starting quarterback.
Very
the Cowboys,
true.
Right? Like, we didn't know who half of these people were. But Mills?
We didn't know who Tom Brady was.
Right. Exactly.
I don't want to get ahead of myself.
Yeah,
dude.
I know. Now we're comparing him to Tom Brady. That's what we're going to get accused of. You are saying Davis Mills and Tom Brady are the same. Is that what you're saying to me?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. That's exactly what we're saying. Yeah. Ugh. It drives me crazy. All right. We're gonna save the most interesting division in all of the NFL. Including the NFC West, we would like the last couple of years.
Can I preface it this way? Because I saw a great title for the AFC West, which was, this is the greatest arms race since the Cold War.
Exactly. We're going to give you the grades for those four teams next when Wake Up Call continues.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call. So we are giving grades for the newly stacked AFC in terms of quarterbacks. I'm just going to do the math real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4 major additions just in the last few weeks to this conference alone that was already stacked. If those four additions didn't exist, the conference was already loaded with quarterbacks. Now you added four arms in a few we're going to get to coming up in the AFC West. Okay, so we've given letter grades to three of the divisions. Now we go to the AFC West. And this one is a real doozy here. Patrick Mahomes gets an A+, right?
Yep.
All right.
What is
he's the best in the game.
What's he left to prove?
Nothing left to prove. Went to 2 Super Bowls.
1-1.
Heartbreaker against the Joe Burrow and the Bengals. Could have been to another one. Could have been to 3 straight.
MVP.
MVP. All of it. $500 million contract. All of it. The guy that you really don't want to face. Like, you can talk about how good all these quarterbacks are, but in the end, if you were to say, give me the one guy in the playoffs you don't want to play, it's him.
Just ask anyone with Bills Mafia.
Yep.
13 seconds.
13 seconds. Right?
Still unreal.
Still unbelievable. Still unbelievable. Chargers, Justin Herbert.
A.
It's an A. He's,
and I'm not even trying to be, I'm not even biased here.
I know, but it's what I told you after that last final game that they lost in overtime. You got a bright future. That kid is going to be amazing. If he's not already a star, he's heading to superstar status. He is going to get this team into the playoffs consistently, barring a major injury or two.
He's gonna
cross over into that they're always in the playoffs mode. Like, that's where I think completely he'll take it.
Yeah, I just want it to change to, you know, they're going to Super Bowl after Super Bowl. But, yeah, you know, it's just, I guess, baby steps. Let's just get to baby the playoffs. Steps.
Las Vegas with Derek Carr. Went to the playoffs last year, but I'm giving him an A-. I don't even know if they would keep him if they had an opportunity.
And that's surprising to me.
It feels like Derek Carr's name is always like,
yeah,
well, the Raiders might be interested because of Josh McDaniels. It's a new coach. You know, it's like any job. Anytime, it doesn't matter what industry you're in, anytime there's the new boss, they want to bring in people they want, right? McDaniels actually tried to do this in Denver when he got there the first time. He wanted to get rid of Jay Cutler from Matt Castle. And then Cutler found out about it and got really angry. So they shipped him to Chicago.
You know, but I'm always surprised with Derek Carr because, like, what is he really doing wrong?
What is he doing wrong enough to make everybody go, well, the Raiders might be interested in that person and then get rid of Derek Carr?
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to get rid of Derek Carr? What's he doing wrong that makes you think, unless you're thinking, you know what, we've seen everything that this guy has and we think we can upgrade the position. Okay. You know? But I give him an A minus, even though he made the playoffs.
Yeah.
All right, Russell Wilson with the Denver Broncos.
So I think this is it's an A quarterback, but it's almost a, you know,
yep,
a wait and see.
I gave it a B plus because it's not quite an A yet. I do need to see for myself what exactly it looks like.
I mean, we know what it looks like on paper.
Right. Right. Exactly. That's another new coach situation. Well, those are our grades.